And a live look downtown Minneapolis. It is beautiful U.S. Bank Stadium. Welcome inside. We have the best high school football players in the state of Minnesota here today. It is the Minnesota Football Showcase. Greetings to everybody. Welcome. I'm Torrey Holt, along with Minnesota Viking color analyst Pete Bursich and former high school player.
Yeah.
What a great opportunity it is for these kids to be able to showcase their talents today.
It is, and this is one of the reasons why you wanted to build this kind of a stadium, is so that these kids can have an opportunity to showcase their talents in this forum. What a beautiful building.
Yeah, we got some big boys in this game today, some of them right up front.
No kidding, Blaze Andries, the big old lineman from Marshall at 6'6", 305, committed to the University of Minnesota, playing with the cast on that right thumb. He'll still get a chance to show what he can move today. And then we have the tight end, Noah Gindorf from Crosby Ironton, committed to North Dakota State. Another tall, 6'6", 225-pound tight end. I know they can't wait to have that kind of a weapon in their offense up there, but we'll get one more shot to see what he can do today.
Besides those two, we have all 10 Mr. Football finalists in the house today, including a couple of real good running backs that are small in stature. Sam Gibbous from Elk River led his team to a state title, maybe the best running back in the state. Wade Sullivan of Lakeville North. We'll get it downstairs to our public address announcer, Dave Giles. Dave?
Now let's meet your South All-Stars. From Rochester Lord, Carter Gregason. From Fairmont, Christian Engeman. From Farmington, Cole Henriksen. From Edina, Brock Boltman. From St. Paul Highland Park, Amitri Collins Westland. From Hopkins, Boye Mafe. From Cannon Falls, Mason Hofstad. From Rosemount, Griffin Lanoue. From Creighton Durham Hall, James Jackson. From Eden Prairie, Jermaine Johnson. From Mankato West, Rob Meidel. From South St. Paul, Ryan Duffy. From Chanhassen, Alex Spillum. From Triton, Leif Bungum. From Marshall, Reese Winkleman. From Dawson Boyd, Eli Weber. From Minneapolis Washburn, D'Angelo Moore. From Rochester Century, Lucas Fisher. From Burnsville, Jackson Martins. From Lakeville North, Wade Sullivan. From Mankato East, Desmond Bassett. From Grand Meadow, Christopher Bain. From Mankato West, Charles Terry. From East Ridge, Dominic London. From Stewartville, Nicholas Thiel. From Wabasso, Mitchell Fulton. From Waconia, Justin Schultz. From Woodbury, Jalen Morrison. From Eastview, Mike Delich. From Casson Manterville, Noah Ryan. From St. Thomas Academy, TJ Wright. From Byron, Cal Priggy. From Lakeville South, Eric Rausmiller. From Caledonia, Ezekiel Ott. From New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva, Jack Schultz. From Waconia, Connor Cruz. From Benilde St. Margaret's, Eric Wilson. From Winona, Jacob Stanislavski. From Bold, Logan Dalt. From Eden Prairie, J.J. Drew. From Marshall, Blaze Andries. From Minnetonka, Aaron Moore. From Minneota, Tanner Differding. From Eastridge, Grant Ryersee. From Minnetonka, Powers Warren. From Prior Lake, Tyler Knutson. And from SMB Wolfpack, Darrence Melton. These are your South All-Stars. Now let's meet the North All-Stars. From Alexandria, Jaron Rosti. From Big Lake, Tanner Tige. From Ely, Josh Hyman. From Totino Grace, Gayflor Flomo. From Elk River, Sam Gibbous. From Roseville, Levi Brown. From Centennial, Luke Chul. From Totino Grace, Joe Russell. From Centennial, Sammy Bird. From Cromwell Wright, Zion Smith. From Blaine, Shea Garrity. From Andover, Michael Wanmaker. From Spring Lake Park, Zachary Ogile. From De La Salle in Minneapolis, JT Baker. From Totino Grace, Charlie Waters. From Crosby Ironton, Noah Gindorf. From Eden Valley Watkins, Greg Lux. From Minneapolis North, Jameer Jackson. From Mound West Tonka, Isaiah Sherrier. From Blaine, Max Bouch. From Holdingford, Blake Patrick. From St. Cloud Tech, Chris Backus. From Detroit Lakes, Carson Thunheim. From St. Francis, Blake Huebner. From Morris Area, Chicayo, Alberta, Jacob Zozel. From Fergus Falls, Riley Sheridan. From Greenway, Nashua, Keewatin, Spencer Potter. From New London, Spicer, Jackson Ness. From Dilworth, Glendon Felton, Ryan Pearls. From Sartell, St. Stephen, Mitchell Zayas. From Zimmerman, Alex Riley. From Matamidi, Graham DeVore. From Champlain Park, Colton Eight. From St. Michael, Albertville, Jack Fiddler. From Albany, Anders Omdahl. From Spring Lake Park, Joshua Ogile. From Providence Academy, Gavin Blomberg. From St. Cloud Tech, Jack Mussman. From Monticello, Carter Hangslaven. From Robbinsdale Cooper, Eric Oboje. From Robbinsdale Armstrong, Matthew Mochinski. From Proctor, Bo Adams. From Osseo, Nash Jensen. From Buffalo, Tyler Johnson. From Champlain Park, Cameron Witt. From Two Harbors, Tyler Keach. And from Virginia, Connor Cusick. These are your North All-Stars. At this time, we ask that you please rise as today's colors are presented by the St. Thomas Academy Color Guard. And now, as you place your right hand over your heart while veterans may render their hand salute, please welcome back the Minneapolis Public Schools District High School Choir as they sing the national anthem.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose
Thank you.
Well, we're all set for the Minnesota Football Showcase. And Pete, looking at an all-star game like this, for these kids who are used to the competitive battle of a game, this is an all-star game. Are you nervous for this kind of game, or is it a little bit of a different feel being you've been kind of having a little bit of fun with these guys for the last week?
I think it's a definitely a different feel. A lot of these kids were here for the semifinals and the finals, so the pressure is not going to be there. And a whole new group of guys around them, guys trying to get comfortable with each other. So I think it's just more of a kind of a friendship type of game. We love that. We love to say that word nowadays, don't we? The friendship game, as they all walk out and shake hands together. But this time they mean it.
We're going to go check in downstairs right now with the third member of our team. We go downstairs with Allie Arnold. Allie, take it away.
Hey, guys, I'm here with Coach Mike Grant. Coach, you've spent the last 3 days with these boys in a much different way than you have in the previous years for an all-star game. What has the last 3 days been like?
It's been great. Our kids have been fantastic. Rather than a dorm room at St. John's, we've been in a hotel, beautiful hotel, eating great meals and spending time practicing, at Concordia of St. Paul. It's been a great experience, and it's gone by too quick.
Over half of your roster are three-sport athletes. Talk about the sheer talent on your south side.
Well, I'll tell you, we have outstanding athletes, outstanding players, and we just try to get out of the way, give them a few things to do and let their talent take over.
Coach, good luck today. We'll send it over to the north sidelines with Angie Vestris.
Thanks, Allie. I'm here with North head coach Jeff Ferguson. Jeff, you're back here at U.S. Bank Stadium just 1 week after winning the Prep Bowl 6A championship. How have the last few days been working with your new squad and working with the amount of talent you have?
They've been great. Our kids have been great. I'm honored to be with this coaching staff and the great South coaching staff. Our kids have behaved so well. They've been, obviously, the talent is off the charts. Just been really fun to walk this journey with them.
What's the focus for your team out there today?
We've had six practices. I'm, getting the snap, executing. I think they're going to be fine. They'll have a blast.
Thanks, Coach. Good luck today. Guys, back up to you.
Thank you, Angie. Allie, they'll be down throughout the game, both getting interviews and telling us some of the great stories about these high school players getting ready for kickoff here. A couple of state championships among these coaching staffs here. Of course, on one side, you got 10 with Mike Grant, and now the reigning state champions on this side with Jeff Ferguson, the head coach from Totino Grace, who just won it last Saturday.
And a lot of MFCA Hall of Fame coaches as assistants. So what I love to hear are these guys talk about the talent that they have. And you're seeing kind of a high school dream team for both of these guys. Their teams were so talented. It's the 6A level between Totino Grace and Eden Prairie. But yet these two squads here, they have a lot more talent than they had at their school.
Grant Ryersey, who is headed to the University of Minnesota on a scholarship. He'll be kicking for the Gophers in the near future from East Ridge High School. Boots it and sends it into the end zone for a touchback. Ryersey played the state championship game with East Ridge. Boy, that was a classic 2 years ago at TCF Bank Stadium. They came up just a little short in the final moments of that game to Osseo. Dan Fritzy is his head coach. Dave Fritzy, of course, a big part of putting this event on, his brother. So you're going to see a few different things here. First down at 10. They're going to throw a little comeback. That one was almost picked off as it was fired out by the starting quarterback, Jaron Rosti of Alexandria, Minnesota, intended for Tyler Johnson out of Buffalo, who's playing for Todd Bauman, the former Minnesota Viking. But there's not a lot that they can do, show you offensively. They only get a few different formations in which to run.
Right, and I think that's the prudent thing to do is to limit the formations that the offense can run, the defense can get lined up, because you don't want these guys thinking that much. You want them just to be able to go out, read the play, and then react.
Jaron Rosti will give it to Gayflor Flomo, who was here last weekend in Saturday's championship game, scored a big touchdown in that game. Gayflor Flomo is talking to his head coach, Jeff Ferguson, who coaches him over at Totino Grace. Amazing kid. Grew up in Liberia in a war over there. Lived in a refugee camp. Came here. Stays with his aunt in Fridley. Left his parents. Hasn't seen his mom since then. And
said here he is in U.S. Bank Stadium, right?
Yeah, exactly. and that's what Coach Ferguson said. He said he's just a kid hungry to change his life. Throws another out route here, an incomplete that time for Rossi. Rushed for nearly 2,000 yards, the quarterback in his career at Alexandria.
I think one of the things to also keep in mind for the parents out there, we're just the number of kids on both these teams that are multiple sport athletes. And in this day and age, it seems that kids are driven to do the one sport that they excel at. And I'll say this, being a head football coach in the high school level myself over at Hill Murray, you want your kids to play as many sports as you can because they're all going to pull from the different experiences as we got a guy running on late. You know, special teams in these All-Star games is always dicey, making sure you got 11 guys on the field. But all these kids, exceptional athletes, they play multiple sports. It's fantastic.
So a three and out for the North, and it is booted away by Rosti and fielded by Lakeville North's Wade Sullivan over on the far sideline, and the South will take over now. And we're going to see who's going to come out as the starting quarterback. It's Rob Meidel of Mankato West. Talked to him earlier in the week. He said winning that state championship in 2014 was the best moment in his life so far.
Well, and I can understand that. Those championships, when it's all said and done, you get those kids to come back, that's what's important.
He was on a very good team that year with Mankato West. Pitch. Near side, one of the 10 plays that Mike Grant said he'd have installed for this All-Star game as Dominic London had the carry. He was a teammate of Grant Ryerson's over at Eastridge.
You look at Mike Grant and Jeff Ferguson, both these guys, they love to run the football, and they understand at the high school level, being up here in Minnesota, when you know come playoff time, you're probably going to be out there in inclement weather. You don't see a lot of the four wide spread type offenses up here. So I think both these coaches, I'm going to see how much Mike Grant decides to throw the football here in this game because I know he loves to keep it on the ground.
Well, that was a play that he was using so much last week with Eden Prairie right there, just getting it to his wide receiver at the line of scrimmage. Catch made by Amitri Collins-Westland out of St. Paul Highland Park. Mike Grant was telling me before the championship game as we were leading up to that he's so honored to be a high school football coach. He said, the best honor, he goes, I don't care who you are, but to me, the best honor is to be able to walk around the community in Eden Prairie and be called coach.
Yeah, it is, and it means something to him, and you could tell. And with the teams that he's fielded and the kids that his lives that they've touched, it's amazing.
Quarterback is from Farmington. Paul Hendrickson fires it incomplete. It was broken up. Had a little indecision there on third down if he was going to take off and run or not. And when I talked to Grant, he did tell me one's a little bit better of a runner, and Cole from Farmington can sling it around pretty good.
I've had a chance to see some of the tape of Cole Hendrickson with my son being at Lakeville North and the big game that they had against Rosemount to come back and to capitalize on some of their mistakes and to beat Rosemount. What a huge upset for those of us south of the river.
He talked about it as being his best moment so far during his time at Farmington was beating Rosemount as Ryerson boots it. He also punts the football for Eastridge as well and does it here for the South All-Stars. So Sherrier on the return for the North. We'll take a timeout. We'll return here to U.S. Bank Stadium. Beautiful look at downtown Minneapolis. U.S. Bank Stadium, host of the Minnesota Football Showcase. We'll check in downstairs. Angie?
Thanks, Tori. I'm here with Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen. Adam, you played in this game back in 2008 for Detroit Lakes. What do you remember about that experience?
Oh, it was awesome. Got to spend the week with a bunch of guys and really get to know a group of guys that I still stay in touch with. So it was a great event and not quite as good as it is now being here and a little bit different than St. Cloud State. But, no, it was a great experience.
I heard after your standout experience in that game and performance that you received an offer from Mankato. How did that all shake out?
Yeah, so after practicing and playing in the game, they found out that I hadn't committed anywhere and didn't know where I was going yet. So they offered me $250 to come to Mankato. I said, hey, let's do it.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for your time, Adam. Guys, back up to you.
You say $250?
I think so. And you wonder how the Thielen experiment turned out, I love guys like Adam Thielen because they took the hard and long road to get to the NFL. They definitely, he didn't come out with a much of play. He didn't go to a big school, but yet he's a very, very good wide receiver in the NFL.
Handoff straight up the gut. Rosti still in at quarterback. Yeah, it's Riley Sheridan who had that carry. Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Yeah, you're trying to get timing in, and I think that in that respect, these offenses are going to be a little bit behind. They've had only a few days to practice, but offensively, that's the hard part to get going. Just the timing of the whole thing, especially with the offensive line.
Riley Sheridan, 5'9", 185-pounder, out of Fergus Falls. And we'll check in downstairs. Alec.
Hey, guys, I'm with C.J. Hamm, a practice squad player for the Vikings. You started out at Duluth Denfield in 2011, and you were made it to the All-Star game here, and you were the MVP of that game. What are some of the memories that you have from that one?
Oh, man, I had a lot of memories from the game. I mean, but most importantly, it was like the week of preparation leading into it. You know, you kind of get that college feel for the first time, and you get to meet all these new athletes. So it was just really good to bond with those players, and I got forever relationships with them.
From Duluth Denfield to Division II Augustana to being a professional football player, what did it take for you from high school to now?
Just a lot of hard work. I mean, just going out there and just always putting it on the field, making sure that nobody's telling you anything different, and just a lot of hard work, like I said.
CJ, congratulations. We're happy to have you here. Thanks for the time.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Tori?
Boy, can Rosti throw that football. Take a look at this one.
Yeah, a great move on the outside by the wide receiver, Blake Patrick, and he gets behind those safeties. You see those safeties getting tucked up. They're getting tight. Run the ball a few times. You got to take a shot every once in a while, and what a great throw.
5,500 yards passing in his career at Alexandria. It's timely handoff going to Gibbous. Sam Gibbous, boy, he ran wild in here last Saturday. Did Gibbous for Elk River. 125 years of the school they're celebrating, and they finally won their first ever state championship this year.
Yeah, it's nice to get that proverbial monkey off the back. And well, you know, you look at the way that these kids are playing. They get the lineman pulling. I think it was a Boje that pulled on that last play. Good big guy and talented in space, and that's what these colleges are looking at. They're looking for these guys, not just that they're big, but that they can move in space and they're athletic.
Little bubble, near side, first down. Jackson Ness out of New London Spicer carries inside the 20-yard line, and finally we have a sustained drive, this one coming from the North All-Stars.
Now, a very nice job by Jackson Ness. He's not just taking that quick pass and cutting it outside. This is just a long handoff. When offenses have a hard time, they want to get the ball in space to their athletes, like Ness in this case, but that cutback right there at the end to get an extra 5 yards. It's a great play by the young man, the young wide receiver.
You know, a lot of these guys, these football players here today, play different positions during the year. There's some quarterbacks that have made the roster as a defensive back and not playing quarterback today. You saw Sam Gibbous have a carry just moments ago. Gibbous is a guy who is a running back, also plays defense, but they put him on the defensive side of the ball, and now Jeff Ferguson is using him. You put him on the roster on the defensive side of the ball, but he's using him on offense here.
You use him wherever you can, and I think that's one of the keys to the winning in the high school level is you got to get the ball in the hands of your athletes, whether it's on offense or defense. And depending on the head coach, I'm a defensive guy. I like to have my best athletes on defense, but then you understand you got to get those guys on the field as much as you can.
Big stop on the play as Ness took that handoff and didn't get much out of it. It's going to be a third down at about 6 yards to go for the North.
T.J. Wright coming up and making a nice play at the linebacker position as he still get these downhill runs. You'll see him right here just kind of cut through, diagnose. What he does, and he does a wonderful job of keeping his shoulders square. And I know with linebackers, it's all about movement. It's about staying square to the line of scrimmage. You can cut back and match the running back. So wonderful job there by T.J. Wright.
Rosti, one of the captains on the North team. There's six of them. He fires this one. Is he inbounds? They're going to say no. It would have been a first down. Great luck out of Eden Valley Watkins. I think he made the reception over there, but he must have stepped out.
I think he stepped out just prior to him catching the pass here. But look at Rosti. When you have a quarterback that can run like that, it puts so much more pressure on the defense. And you saw that. The receiver didn't really come open until he brought it down. He saw a little space in front of him, extended the play with his feet, and I think at the college level you do see some option-type quarterbacks, but what they want to do is to see the guys scramble, extend the play, find guys open down the field.
93 combined touchdowns for Rosti, the quarterback. He also went to State for DECA. Rosti, well-rounded, fires here. That one's intercepted. It's picked off on the near side. D'Angelo Moore, the Minneapolis Washburn, stepped in front of that Rosti pass and picked it off.
Now, a great, an outstanding job by D'Angelo Moore, just keeping his eyes on the quarterback and doing exactly what a free safety should do. You're almost like a center fielder back there. That's how you talk about it. Read the quarterback's eyes, steps up, and makes a great play on the ball.
Welcome back to U.S. Bank Stadium. I'm with Mankato West two-way standout, C.J. Terry. C.J., you were hurt in the semifinals of the state tournament, but you still were able to be a part of the All-Star Week here. What does it mean to you to still be able to be a part of it?
It's great. You know, it's always fun hanging out with those guys the past 3 days. You know, I got to meet a lot of new guys from, you know, different areas, and really, I never thought I'd be friends with these guys because, you know, they go to a different school and I compete against them. But really, they're just another person like me, you know, trying to be great at a sport they love. And, you know, it's just great being around them.
I saw you talking to C.J. Ham. How do you guys know each other?
Mankato West, they go to a team camp at Augustana. And, you know, he goes to college at Augustana during the camp. At night, you know, he supervises the dorms, and, you know, we were staying in the dorms. I'd always go downstairs to talk to him, talk about his life, you know, how he likes college and, you know, what his future plans are. You know, we made a connection. You know, I got his contact and, you know, we stayed in touch for this whole time.
Well, give it a couple years. Maybe we'll see you as the next C.J. Ham.
I hope so.
All right. Back up to you, Tori.
It's good stuff. I mean, yeah. To have almost all the guys that were asked to be in this game, be able to play in this game. I was talking to Jeff Ferguson earlier this morning and he was telling me, because they moved the game from the summer till now and the involvement that the Vikings have had, this has been the best one ever because they've been able to have all the kids. When they do it in the summer, some of the kids are gone. Kids are doing camps.
Yeah, they're absolutely doing different things, and I agree. They're still in football shape. They're not really overlapping on too many of the other seasons, so I think the ability to have this game this quickly, kind of like the Pro Bowl. Guys don't want to sit on the shelf for a month and a half or 8 weeks and then have to come back. So, what I love about what C.J. Terry said is that he sees these guys as competitors, opponents, and then once you get together and get these kids in a group, they realize they're all the same. We're all the same guys, all trying to go after the same thing, and there's a camaraderie built amongst these young men here, and they'll have that for the rest of their lives.
Meidel got it back. Juggled the handoff, the mesh there didn't quite work out, but Meidel was able to hang on to the football and move ahead. He's used to that, 1,078 yards rushing and 26 touchdowns this year for Meidel. And was that an Albert Bell setting?
Well, you take a look. This is the timing stuff that we talked about. And earlier in the drive, there was a play by Blake Huebner, defensive tackle, guards pulling. He comes underneath. You see Mike Grant putting the extra offensive lineman in the tight end. He can't help himself but put big men on the field. But some really, really good play by some of these guys and their ability to read and to react and make plays has been impressive.
Jackson Martins, or Joe Russell, rather, from Totino Grace, grabbed the football on the bounce and tried to dart upfield.
Now Joe Russell got a chance to see those guys. My son, again, Lakeville North, Totino Grace, quarterfinals and over there at Eden Prairie, and I mean it was a buzzsaw. Totino Grace was just doing everything right, and what a great team that Coach Ferguson put on the field.
One of the captains is Joe Russell, played for Jeff Ferguson at Totino Grace. Go downstairs, Angie.
Thanks, Tori. I'm here with Josh Hyman from Ely High School. Josh, you're the first representative from Ely since 1976. How does it feel to rep the Timberwolves?
Oh, I mean, it's just really cool to come down here and get to know all the guys. And, I mean, coming from 9-man, it's been a big change, but it's been really cool.
You said your favorite athletic memory was playing in the Metrodome. How does it compare playing here at U.S. Bank Stadium?
I mean, both really cool, but, I mean, this is probably the coolest stadium in the country right now, so it's pretty awesome.
Where are you off to next year?
I'm going to West Point for track, so...
Great. Thanks so much, Josh. Have fun today. Guys?
Another multi-sport athlete. There's so many of them in this game today. Talked about it. Deep down the right side, and that one is incomplete. That one intended for Michael Wanamaker from Andover. They had a tough year this year, but Wanamaker really helped lead that team. In fact, an all-conference player, not only in football, but lacrosse as well.
I'm taking a look at this, and I'm trying to figure out who has the best hair. If it's Wanamaker at wide receiver, or the young man, the nine man. Where is he? I'm trying to find his name right now. Where is he?
Was that Cal Priggy?
Yeah, no, it might have been Cal. Well, let's
the Byron
get through this
Bears. Play. Back to pass, firing. That one is deflected and knocked down. New quarterback in the game is Chris Backus out of St. Cloud Tech.
Well, both offenses, I think, struggling a little bit to get the timing and to get things going. It was Christopher Bain is the guy that I was talking about.
Yes, Bain.
So I don't know if they have awards for haircuts. I love the long hair. I think it's good. I really enjoy it. It's just a matter of we got another big fellow with the Mussman with the curls. I mean, he got
guarantee
the curls going.
He might need some
hair product to help him out. But some good hairdos down here today too.
Gotta love it. Ferguson was telling me. He said he's got a wild group. He said, you got to see the hair on my team, and obviously it's front and center right now. That's what is on showcase here at the Minnesota Football Showcase. It's been the hair. Cameron Witt, he said, the wide receiver from Champlain Park as well. He's probably the happiest guy he's ever met in his entire life. Cameron Witt, 13 kids in his family.
Wow.
He said his mother's going straight to heaven.
I remember playing in college with a kid named John Covington who came from a family that size, and he said he remembers sitting down for Thanksgiving dinner and not knowing everybody's name at the table.
Henriksen back in, going deep into coverage, and there he is. Witt right there. That
double,
one broke it up.
Tyler Knutson from Prior Lake trying to go up for it, and that's a max protection, one-man route, take a shot deep, trying to soften up the defense to get the extra. You know, one thing about Mike Grant, you can tell him these four men, but he's putting extra personnel in there. And in the last play, Powers Warren, son of Kevin Warren, the COO from the Vikings that I've known from a long time. So it's fantastic to see Powers get in there and be able to play in this game.
Coach Grant looking on, trying to figure out a way to get his offense going. I mentioned Witt. He's the other 88. Tyler Knutson going up for that one. The incomplete. Here's Henriksen running a quick screen to the far side. Dominic London carried ahead. It's going to be shy of the first down. It's going to be third and four for the South All-Stars.
Yeah, nice job by Dominic London to get the receivers out of the backfield. These are the kinds of things that you're going to see more of in college than you are in the high school level. So for any type of running back, the ability to be able to run routes, to catch balls out of the backfield, those are all very, very important. And, one of my favorite guys, Wade Sullivan, checks in. I've been able to see this kid play for
incredible
the last
player.
2-3 years. Just the toughness of this kid is just amazing.
I think he has one offer to UMD.
Not a whole lot going up front right now.
No, they're having some hard time creating some space. And Wade Sullivan, to his credit, he doesn't need a lot of space.
No, he doesn't. And he was, I know he shouldered so much of Lakeville North's offense this year. Reed Smith played. He ended up having shoulder with a bad shoulder all year. He had surgery at the end of the year to kind of clean things up. But Wade, boy, he was the beginning and end of that Lakeville North offense. And got to give credit to Tatino because they really shut him down. And Lakeville just couldn't get it done through the air. We got, you know, getting guys cycling them on and out. Darren Smelton. You know, that'll cost him a job in the NFL. Yeah. You come running on the field late like that, but we'll let it.
They're a little more lax here
today.
Ryersey, a low liner. And that one fielded up ahead. Joe Russell on the run, brought down. And the North Stars will take over. Taking a look back, last weekend it was an awesome week. And one of the guys in the game right here going the distance, Christopher Bain of the Super Larks from Grand Meadow. This game against Cleveland, it was a battle, it was a test. Cleveland came in undefeated. This was the 50th win in a row for the Grand Meadow Super Larks. And their head coach, Gary Sloan, is on the staff of Mike Grant as well. 50 wins in a row.
That's an amazing accomplishment, and I don't care what level it is. As Sheridan gets the handoff up the middle, you know, I love these guys that play some nine man, getting a chance to come out here and play 11 man football. We talked to the young man from Ely, Josh Hyman, and he's saying it's different, how much different it is, and for someone like me, who grew up in a suburb of Chicago, that's all we had. I never even heard of nine man football until I moved up here. 20 years ago. So just a great experience for them, too.
Colorado, they have six-man football.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it called, hockey?
No.
Ball start on the offense, five-yard penalty, still second down.
You know,
Nash Jensen from Osseo, he just didn't snap the ball. It must have been some kind of miscommunication or either that, or everyone's distracted by his orange shoes.
Yeah.
He kind of has that Cordarrelle Patterson thing going. Where Cordero come
very,
out with the
very flashy
shoes.
Center.
Yeah, he's a very linemen. That's what they have to do. That's what they kind of feel what they need to do to stand out, because they're just a big guy in a group of other big guys that they got to wear funny shoes or grow their hair long. I'm not a big fan of offensive linemen all the time.
I do like the long hair look though of this team. I mean, they have some personality, do they? As we're going to get a whistle and the last play of the quarter. And still we are looking for points in this one here at U.S. Bank Stadium.
It's a shootout at the bank.
As they're trying to get going, the defenses are settling in. No score through the first period. We'll return in a moment. Among the many really cool features at U.S. Bank Stadium is the Honor the Game helmet display to celebrate local and regional sports. The back of the East video board showcases helmets from all 366 Minnesota high school football teams. Pretty cool. I just saw it on Thursday night. Came out here for the Vikings-Cowboys game. I look for my old Apple Valley helmet up there, and I realize there are a lot of gold helmets. The old gold,
the
old Notre Dame.
Huh?
I used to think we were so cool because we looked like your Notre Dame team.
Yeah, I know Notre Dame's, they've changed everything, the uniform, the helmets. And that's something, that, again, my experience as a head coach, how much these uniforms over time have changed and how important it is for these kids now that the helmets look a certain way and the jersey. I mean,
it's a recruiting tool.
It is. It's
it really
a recruiting
is.
Tool, and it's trickle down because the quality of helmets and equipment that they have is every bit as good as these guys who play on Sunday. The Under Armour uniforms that the guys wear at Division I's on Saturday. So for a lot of these kids, when they go to that next level, they're not going to be surprised by the equipment. That's for sure. They've been wearing top of the line stuff for years now.
We got new uniforms at Northwestern and St. Paul, and I was talking to Matt Moore, our defensive coordinator. Nice run here ahead, almost out to midfield. Chris Backus of St. Cloud Tech taking over for North Stars. He's back in. But he's telling me, he's like, hey, you got to give the kids what they want right now. They want to look good.
If they and that's the thing. If the kids have a decision in the matter, they'll definitely take it. But Chris Backus had nice job getting to the top of his drop. He had a receiver open, but protection just didn't quite hold up long enough. Pulled it down and at least got 2 or 3 yards. So a good decision by the quarterback.
Well, the other thing, when you're a quarterback and you're playing with your teammate for your whole life for 4 years in high school, you kind of get an idea of what they're going to do when you're moving around the pocket, what their tendencies are. And these guys haven't played together, so you can't really anticipate anything.
You're right. And Gayford Flomo with the carry off tackle gets it to about fourth down and four. So we'll get a chance to see if they'll go for it, which I think they're going to do. But even the cadence, Tori, when you're up there and you're playing a certain style of offense, it's just downset hut, and then now you have some guys will audible and all those things. That's why we practice so much, because everything is so different. Some kids play 3-4, now they're playing 4-3 on defense, and 2-deep and 3-deep and, hash middle split rules. All those things change for these young guys, and that's why, like I said before, you don't want them to think too much. Just go out there, do what they
delay
do.
Offense.
Really delay a game.
Penalty, still fourth down.
I mean, Okay, so now they'll bring the punt team out, but you got to give them a couple extra seconds. I mean, these guys are hearing the call for the first time. So I wonder how long it's going to take for high school to adopt the headphones and the helmet.
I was thinking about
that. That way, I think, would be, you talk about everything for this game. I think that'd be a great idea for this game, to let these kids have that voice in the back of their head. They may not like it, but it'd be good for them. I'd love to, as a coach, you'd love to have that voice in the back of their head.
Oh, absolutely. Be able to chat with them. Especially when you're dealing with a young quarterback, when you're talking about, hey, throw it to that guy. Don't read. Throw it to that guy.
Well, there's a cutoff, so you're only allowed to talk. And I know in the NFL people always ask about that, but there's a cutoff. You can only say a few things or at least get the play in. And, yeah, in high school, it's amazing that with the huddle sideline and some of these other things that these coaches have, the tools are better than what they use in the NFL. Now, for the NFL, it's a competition thing. They could have that technology. They just choose not to. But as a head coach or a defensive coordinator in high school, to be able to watch the film kind of as it happens in front of you, it's an unbelievable advantage.
National Honor Society member Rob Meidel hands it off. We'll hand it off to Allie.
All right, thanks, Tori. We've got Mitch Fulton from Wabasso here. Mitch, you are a three-sport athlete, and you boast a 3.9 GPA. How do you manage being a great student-athlete?
My parents just taught me from the beginning to get your grades in, or do your homework, get good grades, and sports come second.
I have to do it to you because your coach gave me permission. He said during every single game of the year at some point, whether it's a long touchdown run or nerves, you throw up. How have you been doing this game so far?
Oh, I've been doing pretty good. Not in as much, so I don't get as tired and out of breath.
All right, but we're doing okay so far. How do you enjoy playing at Vikings home base here?
It's been really fun. It's still nerve-wracking, same as it was during semifinals at state, but still loving it.
Still loving it. Get back out there. I'm sure you're back in the field shortly. All right, Tori, back to you.
He's a jittery kid, isn't he? But how does he play so well?
Well, you like a good racehorse, you got to kind of run it out of him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so much easier. You want to take these kids and have to bring them down a little bit instead of having to get them to pick up. And that kid definitely has a high motor, so that's fantastic.
Hey, they do it at all levels. I mean, Robert Smith, wasn't he notorious for doing that same thing?
Yeah, that's just because he was out of shape.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
It was out.
I remember that, though, with Robert and him. He would run himself till he threw up. I mean, it's just amazing what he would put himself through. So we're getting another punt, it's an offensive shootout battle so far today, and it's kind of what you expected with these offenses not getting a ton of time to work together and kind of iron things out. So.
Grant Ryersey likes it. I mean, he's getting showcased as much as anybody, the punter back here for
He might have four or five colleges to go to after this. No rush. Can't get that one to turn over, though.
And that one's going to hop out of bounds and plus territory for the North All-Stars. We're going to take a timeout here at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's the Minnesota Football Showcase. No score. Back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Football Showcase. We're still scoreless here in the second. I'm joined now by wide receiver Tyler Johnson out of Buffalo. Tyler, you broke the Minnesota State record for receiving yards. Looking back at your career at Buffalo, what are some other highlights that stand out?
Working with the team. I mean, Buffalo has a bunch of great guys, great coaching staff. I mean, they set you up for success, and they help you with your future. Just building you for the future and setting up your life, so...
How special is it for you to be selected as one of the top players in the state of Minnesota and to play here today?
Oh, it's an honor. I mean, when I first got it, I was like, this can't be real. And then I found out it was real. My coach told me, he's like, congratulations. And I was like, it's an honor. So that's all I really got.
Thanks, Tyler. Have fun out there today. Guys?
Tyler Johnson from Buffalo playing with one of my former teammates, or playing for one of my former teammates, Todd Bauman. It's Jarrett Rosti. Takes one out. Here's a quarterback. Scrambling, getting outside, and this is it. Again, athleticism at that quarterback position. The quarterback touches the football more than anybody else. And I think this is a design quarterback draw. Let the rush get upfield. Good blocking up front, and Austin takes it all the way down to about the 20-yard. So
your old teammate Bauman used to do that at St. Cloud State.
Exactly. Well, yeah. He was a much better at. He won a slam. He won a dunking competition.
He's unbelievable.
Up there. So
fast pitch softball, one of the best in the nation.
Yeah, he's just an all around good athlete, and looks like he passed somebody along to Tyler Johnson.
Out of Russell Tyler Ruthven High School. Quick swing pass. And jumping outside, it was Tanner Teague.
Good block by Michael Wanmaker on the outside. And when you throw these short passes, these whip screens that they like to call them, you've got to get blocking from the wide receiver. So you see that by number 12, Wanmaker right there. Another block from the outside, and you want as a receiver, it's just like a run. You just run to the backs. If they both turn the DBs out, take it right up the middle.
Tanner Teague plays for Big Lake in 4A. Handoff right up the middle. It's Gayflor Flomo. He'll take it down near the sticks. It should be a first down at about the 10-yard line.
If that was not a Totino Grace type of run, Gayflor Flomo giving the little Ezekiel Elliott deal there. You know, we'll hold off on that one for a couple of years there. You know what I mean? But a great run up the middle. But that's exactly Totino Grace offense. So offensive linemen all teeing off, straight downhill, hand it to your running back, and just let him bury his shoulders behind the big men in front of him and get 3 or 4 yards on the ground. It's very, very tough to stop as a defense that kind of a run, especially that quick and that fast downhill, that quickly
time
downhill.
Out. North.
So
it's the first time
Jeff Ferguson decides to call a timeout. We get it up here in the booth as well. We'll
got to bust out that red zone offense.
Yes, right.
Here we go.
Going to get some points. Last weekend was the Prep Bowl right here, and in Class 1A was Minneapolis North and Rushford Peterson. Minneapolis North making the return trip. They returned this one to the house. Last year, North lost to Minneota in the final when they had their superstar Tyler Johnson, who's now over at the U. This year, Jameer Jackson and company, who is in this game here today. Jameer Jackson, a linebacker from Minneapolis North, is one that helped the Polars to the state championship. They went on to win this one 30-14, and former Viking Leo Lewis over there working at the school, Minneapolis North, getting him back on the map. That school almost closed.
I'm thrilled for Leo Lewis and what he's been doing up there.
Hand up, and again, they test the middle of the field, and they'll take it down to the 5. It was Teague.
Out of Big Lake taking it. He's listed as a defensive back as well, so he goes both ways. But Gayflor Flomo playing a little bit of fullback. So you got a fullback that can run, but his ability to step up, pass protect, block, be a quasi-fullback, and you don't see many tailbacks these days that have that level of physicality.
Rosti. Handoff, and the defense there waiting for Sherrier. Isaiah Sherrier, Mount Westonka, Twin City Red District.
Great job by Blaze Andrews right here getting outside. And that's an offensive lineman, by the way, that's able to get and push off of that side and extend the gap. And that's the difference between your Division I big men and some of the smaller school big men is their ability to move. And a guy like Blaze Andrews, even though he's 6'6", over 300 pounds, the kid can still move.
Will we have a score here? 3rd and 7. They fire to the end zone. Touchdown. Michael Wanamaker out of Andover gets the first points. They go to the north, and it's 6-0.
Looks like Desmond Bassett and a couple of other DBs from South having a discussion. Obvious mental error. So great job offensively. I'll tell you what, this Rosti kid has impressed me the whole game so far. He's able to find the wide open Michael Wanmaker with the great hair. Just a simple out and up route, just a crossing route. Nothing too complicated. They come down, and this one of the things that defensively, you just got to know your responsibility, and when you see something that's new, go by your rules. But great job by Rosti. I've been very impressed with him today, his ability to run the offense when the play's there to pull it down and to get the kick. We're sweating it out like we do with the Vikings. It's up and it's good.
7-0 near the half.
So, but I'm very impressed with Rosty and his ability to run this offense up and down the field. Yeah, you got the
hair apparent.
You got some flow going as we're warming up for the high school hockey championship. You know what I mean? When you get the close-ups without the helmets, but just a nice throw inside out. And so for Wanamaker, you can see the DB looking back. You can see Bassett kind of turning around.
It was Boltman and Bassett who were over there, and Boltman went with the guy. He switched. And right. The others thought it was just a straight zone.
And for an offense trying to get everything down here, well, let's get it down to the sidelines with Allie real quick.
Byron's homecoming king from this year, Cal Priggy. Cal, no matter what the outcome of any Friday night game, on Saturdays your coach says that you are helping out with youth football in Byron. Talk about the importance of kind of extending yourself into the youth program.
We just want all the youth kids to want this program to be something that everyone's proud of, and the way you do that is showing up, because you may not think you're an important player, but to the kids, you're like Superman to them, and it just shows everybody that you care and they want to be a part of it, so it brings more kids into the program.
Homecoming king and a football all-star, how has this senior year been shaping up for you?
It's going pretty good. I'm happy with it.
Not too bad. Congrats on a great year, Cal. Get it back out there. Tori.
Said his best time in high school is the time he spent together with his teammates.
And that's what these guys will remember. And it's a message, having been able to play this game at every level. I still keep in touch with all the guys I played with in high school.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the better you were. And we still talk about all the memories and things. And in all those years of football, I've been with the Vikings more than 20 years now, and Notre Dame, and I was only a champion once, and that was as a sophomore in 1987 at Providence Catholic High School, and those championships don't come by that often. And so for these kids that are here that won state titles, it might be the last time they're champions playing football.
Second quarter action, 7-0, first points on the board there from the North. All-Stars coached by Jeff Ferguson, who is in his third All-Star game, Mike Grant in his third All-Star game. They met in this All-Star game when Mike Grant was with Forest Lake back in 1992. Jeff Ferguson was the coach on his staff, and he was coaching for the Blaine Bengals.
Now, you don't think experience matters at this level?
I mean, Grant,
between these two guys, you have just ton, I mean, 30, 50, 60 years of experience between the two. They've seen about everything that high school football has to offer. So,
Mike Grant's staff, 20 state championships on his coaching roster.
It's been an amazing run for him, and he's continuing to build. He's not letting off the gas pedal, that's for sure.
What a great game between those two last week. And Mike told me before, it's going to come down to mistakes, and it was. Unfortunately for his team, it came down to a fumbled punt late in the game. And a nice run here to the outside by a gentleman who was just playing quarterback. Oh, it was Wade Sullivan, the 23.
Yeah,
on the South Stars.
Wade Sullivan taking the draw play, and this is what he does. You get him in space. He's so shifty, and I don't know if he's just so small that the guys on defense have a hard time picking him out and seeing him, but you could see his ability to make guys miss in space, and then the cutback right there to get the extra 5 or 6 yards. This is one tough kid. He's a heck of a good wrestler, and he uses that sport and parlays it into being an outstanding running back. So, like I said, this kid is a workhorse, and I've been able to see him for the last two seasons do his thing.
Plays with your son, Pete Jr., over at Lakeville North.
Repeat, as we call him.
Downstairs, Angie Avestras. Angie.
Thanks, Tori. I'm here with tight end Noah Gindorf. Noah, how is it having a game like this cap off your senior year?
It's a great way to end it. Coming in here with these guys, you know, meeting a whole bunch of players, just really going out with a great team, putting together our best effort all the time, and just a great way, great experience to end my high school football career.
You're a three-sport athlete, academic All-State, and very active in the community. How do you find time for it all?
I get a lot of help from my friends and family, and it can be stressful sometimes, but, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I love every bit of it.
Have you decided where you're going to school next year?
I'm going to NDSU to play football.
Great. Congrats, and have fun out here today.
Thank you.
Guys?
Christopher Bain on the carry down to the 46-yard line.
Yeah, I like, you look at a guy like Gindorf, he's just a – the height and the weight. It's just a, it's just something that God gives you, right? You either, have that size or you don't. And he fortunately does. He did play at a smaller school, but in North Dakota State, he's going to get an opportunity. There, you've talked about winning championships. He's going to have an opportunity now to win some at the next level because that's just an outstanding school for all, for any of these kids to go to. Oh, my guy Bain just had a carry.
Yeah.
I'm dying to be able to talk to someone like him to see what it's like to transition from 9-man to 11. You know, if it's that big of a difference, because the change is really in the offensive line and the extra bodies in there. So let's take it down to the sidelines to Allie here real quick.
Yeah, guys, I'm with NRHEG's Jack Schultz. Jack, your coach told me you're a character, so we're going to expose it. He says you are a self-taught classic rock guitar player. Who's your favorite to play?
Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
You drive what, and what did you name her?
In 1982, Z28 Camaro, and her name is Cammy.
Cammy, good old Cammy. What furry friend sleeps with you every night?
My cat, Callie. She's calico.
I heard you love cats.
I do love cats, yes.
And then what's your favorite food?
Cheeseburgers, probably.
Your coach told me Doritos and mashed potatoes.
Okay, Doritos. Yeah, I do like my Doritos.
Getting yourself up for a college diet set up for you?
Yeah, definitely.
What are your plans here after graduation?
I want to go play college football somewhere. I'm thinking, you know, Moorhead, or gonna try to go to Duluth somewhere in there, or Eau Claire, who knows. So.
All right, we'll get back out on that field and show them what you got.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Jack. Back to you, Tori and Pete.
I mean, 1982 Camaro, Jimmy Page playing a guitar. I think I went to high school with that kid.
I know, I think you did.
What a flashback.
Gotta
love
it. Might
have
been in the same band.
Yeah, we might be.
New Richland, Heartland, Allendale, Geneva High School.
In case you get confused.
Yeah. Hendrickson ahead to the 40. And he's going to be down at the 40. It'll bring up third and three. Tons of great players in this game today. Taking a look at the top 10 finalists for Mr. Football. I named a couple, Gibbous and Wade Sullivan. You saw a nice run where he just stuck his foot in the ground. Picked up about 30. Rosti, the quarterback for Alexandria. Boy, he's been good.
All these kids, I've been very impressed with Rosti so far in this game. And, you know, you get around a little bit more talent. You wonder how these kids are going to transition into the next level. See a guy like Rosti do what he did today, I think he's going to be just fine.
Zach Ogile, here it is. Fourth down, Sullivan going for it. And he's going to be just shy of the marker, so they're going to turn the ball over. But, hey, I like it.
How about Charlie Waters from Totino Grace coming up making a play? And I don't know if he knows it, but there was a Charlie Waters that played for the
41.
Dallas Cowboys for a very, very long time. So carry the name proudly. And it's been – I like the call to say, hey, you know, let's just try to go for it on fourth down. But Charlie Waters would have nothing of it. Another good linebacker in this league, in this game. And these kids staying square, getting downhill, reading their keys. Some parts of these games just don't change. Yeah, the schemes and the names and those kinds of things might vary a little bit. But playing football is all about fundamentals and being sound.
And Gibbous up the middle. Stop for a couple. And speaking of Totino Grace and the championship game a week ago, Cole Kramer early on in the game, what a catch by Kevin Conley. What an athlete that kid was. He had both Eden Prairie touchdowns. But Totino Grace on a third down and goal, what do? Belly pass the big tight end.
Yeah, you fake it to your running back, Gabe Flomo, who's been carrying that team and doing a lot of great things for that team.
Late in the game, then Ivan Burlak takes the handoff, works his way into the end zone, and the senior caps it off the right way. The first team in the history of Minnesota high school football to opt up two classes to win a state championship.
Right, and that's definitely an accomplishment. And I think the most impressive part, even Eden Prairie and Totino Grace, are two very disciplined football teams. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're not jumping off sides. They're not committing penalties. They do their assignments. And I think that's a tip of the cap to both coaches and their ability to get these kids to play together and play mistake-free football like they have.
7-0, our score, 7-yard touchdown reception by Michael Wanamaker. This is going to be an incomplete pass. They've already whistled it dead. Caught the touchdown from Jaron Rosti on the last possession for the North All-Stars. The South countered on the long Sullivan run, but turned it over on down. So second down, or third down now for the North. There he is, state champion.
Get a chance to see these guys throw all the stickers on from all, you know, from all over. And it'd be interesting also to know which school stickers are most popular. They're going to come out of here kind of like they used to do at the Senior Bowl back in the day with number of decals and things, and hopefully they'll be able to keep those helmets.
Rolling right, third down at six. It's going to be no gain on the play as they flipped it out to Jackson Ness, who stopped right at the line of scrimmage. T.J. Wright on the tackle. No flag down on the play. Is this our first flag?
Yeah, our first. It's been a pretty good pretty good contest.
There haven't been too many.
From that aspect.
Personal foul, roughing a passer on the defense. 15-yard penalty, first down.
I don't get getting a chance to see this again. And just a little bit of, you know, those are always tough. And Jermaine Johnson coming up late and from Eden Prairie and just kind of putting his shoulder in on the quarterback. And I think that's another part of this game at safety and concussion and taking out the unnecessary hits. With the way the officials call these games at every level now, you got to lay off the quarterback. You just can't tee off on them like we used to back in the day.
Backus will hand it off. Up the middle it goes to Gibbous. What a different offense. I don't know if you saw Elk River play, but they were playing basically, it was a T formation in this season, and it was a new offense that they implemented. And there's so many fakes going on, and the kids from Elk River, they bought into it so much that they made a game out of it to show the fake. They wanted to fool the other team, the other guys who didn't get the football, and it worked.
And that's the key, is to get everybody to buy in. And we got a little defensive line stunt up underneath.
Backus going deep. This is going to be too far for everybody. Incomplete down the left side. He was looking for the wide receiver, Tyler Johnson.
And Backus has had to kind of pick himself up off the ground the last couple plays. So Jermaine Johnson from Eden Prairie getting in on there. And a number of guys, Noah Ryan from Casson Manorville.
Yeah.
Getting in there as well, running a little stunt on the far side. And that's the part that these kids love to do. You don't always want to just run out, get in there, and just line up in a gap and take it. Let them move around a little bit. Let them have a little bit of fun. And the coaches, you know, they enjoy it too. They get a chance. They can't help themselves. They're going to see a certain formation and protection. And like, hey, we got to do this. We got to do that. I don't know how long it's going to take them to get off script, but I don't think it'll be too long.
For Coach Ferguson, John Clark calling the plays today out of Manoman. He's taking care of that for him.
Jermaine Johnson again making his presence known. So coming off the edge. Now, you look at a guy like Jermaine Johnson, he's happy to have stickers on his helmet, finally, because he couldn't have. But tackling is something that's become more of an, you can't practice it as much because of the hitting and those kinds of things, but that was a textbook tackle. If anybody at home's watching that and you're a young man, you just see the hit and then the rolling of the hips, and he just wraps up underneath and takes the running back right to the ground. So that's a textbook tackle by the young man from Eden Prairie. It's no coincidence, you know, Torrey, that these guys that are out here fundamentally sound and playing well on defense and offense are the same ones that played for both of these coaches. I mean, that's what they do. That's how they win, by being fundamentally sound and keeping these guys going forward.
Mike Grant, head coach. You know, another great area of U.S. Bank Stadium is the Viking Voyage in the northwest corner on the Skyway level. It's an interactive area with virtual reality and other exhibits to celebrate the history of the Minnesota Vikings franchise. And a little bit of that history was on display this weekend. You saw here on Thursday night, the father of Mike Grant, Bud Grant, polishing off his Hall of Fame bust. That was pretty neat to see.
It was neat to see. It was great to see all those guys. I had the ability to play with John Randall and Randall McDaniel, probably two of the finest people that I have been around, players. Chris Carter, a number of Hall of Famers, guys like Warren Moon, who's still with the Seattle Seahawks but still considers himself a Minnesota Viking. There's a family atmosphere here that I think you don't find in too many other places
in the NFL, especially with teams that don't have the tie of a Super Bowl championship to bring them together.
I was talking yesterday with Tommy Kramer, the former Viking quarterback here, and he told me that his number one memory in his entire career, and he had a lot of them, he went to the 86 Pro Bowl, passing complete on the near side, and first round draft pick at 77 of the Vikings, but he told me his favorite memory was 1971 at Robert E. Lee High School in Texas. He won the state championship down at Texas Stadium.
And you nice play here you're going to see by Justin Schultz from Waconia, breaking up on the ball and breaking up the pass. And Waconia, one of my favorite areas, one of my favorite lakes to fish, so I'm down there. I'm going to have to see if Justin ever out there on the lake
walleye
fishing, they can find some spots for him. No, I'm a bass fisherman. I go after the green ones, not the brown ones. But Justin Schultz, great job on the pass breakup on a key play. Now we get the ball back in the hands of the South All-Stars. Yes, another big guy's late. So he's lucky it's an All-Star game and not a regular game. There'll be some up-downs involved, I think, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
I don't know what he was set, but it doesn't matter. Wade Sullivan darts ahead, gets around the corner. Boy, does he get the edge fast, and he could shake him when he sticks that foot in the ground.
Now, Wade Sullivan just gained 9 yards on a busted play. You had both guards pulling, and they run right into each other, which probably confused the defense. These disciplined linebackers on the north side of the ball just running right into each other, and Wade Sullivan able to take that ball outside for 9 yards. So
last weekend, boy, can this kid sling it. Talking about Tommy Kramer, Owen King, this guy could fire it.
Well,
Caledonia, just a junior.
I mean, you talk about football town, USA, we were down there last winter to celebrate that as the football town of Minnesota. But, yeah, this kid can sling it up and down the field. And you go down there, and what a sense of community that they have,
yeah,
and the tie with the football program and how proud they are of their football program down there and what the coaching staff and what they have done. It's just a great experience. Minnesota is one of those states where you get big town and then you get some of the small towns, and you don't have to go too far out of town to find some of these smaller areas where football on a Friday night. I mean, that's what's happening in Caledonia.
Isaac Frichte, of course, with the Vikings. He was at Caledonia, won state titles. His dad, Carl Frichte, backed as the head coach.
And his dad is all business, let me tell you that.
Yes.
We got a chance to go down there.
We
had him on the radio.
I was scared.
Yeah, he commands attention, no question about that.
Caledonia wins that title 61-12 over Eden Valley Watkins in that game. Michael Cannon, incomplete, high and out of bounds, going back to Caledonia. The one thing I noticed about them, and this is for any kid sitting at home that's about to start high school, all their players were just physically mature. All of them were. And you could tell that they were all in the weight room and how hard they worked in the weight room. And the same with the Rochester Lure team that won a state championship. And if you want to play at a high level, you get your butt in the weight room.
Yeah, you have to. And a lot of that is just being strong is for your own protection. The muscles are what absorb most of the blows and things like that. As we saw Powers Warren just miss a pass to the outside. It would have been more than enough for a first down. But, yeah, the weight room is what conditions you and gets you strong. Look at this little inside trap.
I like that old
school. Wade Sullivan. So from a little bit of a wing tee. Now, Wade Sullivan might have been. Oh, here we go. Hurry up offense with about 20 seconds left.
Might have hurry him to the line
there
of scrimmage.
Go.
And the ball set for play after the first down. He kills it.
He kills the clock, but yet it's still going. Let's go.
I was just going to say, I looked to see how much time there was, and they ran off an extra few seconds. 7-0 right now, North All-Stars. They're in white. South is in the purple. Minnesota Vikings sponsoring this deal. The kids used to have to raise $500 when it was in the summer to play in this game, and now the Vikings pick up the entire deal.
It's something that when they broke ground in the stadium and all the conversations that we had with Lester Bagley, not only is it a great venue for the fans and for the pros and for the people that come and get paid, but these kids and they have any opportunity to play inside of this stadium, it's something that they'll carry with them the rest of their lives. And think of all the other state championships, soccer, and all the other sports that are held here.
Farmington Tigers High School. And Cole Henriksen fires it the out route right at the sticks. Nice catch by Tyler Knutson of Prior Lake. A pair of players from the South Suburban Conference little out underneath that nine route.
Yeah, Tyler Knutson from Prior Lake. And I say this for Heinrichsen and Farmington, they run that spread offense, and they start it when these kids are in grade school.
Yeah.
I mean, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, they're four wide spreading that thing out. So what they try to do, and we've got a 48-yard field goal attempt here.
Oh, this is a 58-yarder.
58-yarder, excuse me.
So Ryerson for 58, and he tried to hit it too hard. That ball's a live ball, so right before the half, they tried to hammer the 58-yarder by Ryerson, and he's going to be thinking about that all night. Because he's good, and he can hit it. I saw him hit a 55-yarder earlier this year.
So for Ryerson, I wish everybody that at home could come out and stand 50-some yards from those goalposts and
right.
see just how narrow they are from that distance. And, I figured it was going to be a fake. I didn't know that Ryerson had that kind of a leg on him. So, but accuracy is just as important, and they come up short. So going into halftime, 7-0, close game. I don't know how much. I think it's a 10-minute halftime. The team could get a little bit of a chance to regroup and take a break. But we'll have some music. The bands will be coming out, I think, at halftime. And, again, more and more local high schools and kids
Allie,
having the opportunity
Angie,
to come out
there.
To come out and show what they have. And I stick around and see Allie and Angie. I mean,
why wouldn't you?
The two of us. I mean, good Lord.
7-0 North after the first half of play. It was Jaron Rosti's 7-yard touchdown pass to put Jeff Ferguson's team ahead. Michael Wanamaker and his hair head into the locker room with that touchdown catch.
I think Mike Grant's just going to yell at him right in the end zone. He's not even going to take him in the locker room.
Mike Grant's got to get it figured out on offense. He's been able to do that. 10 state championships for Mike Grant. He's just looking for some points in the second half. Halftime on the way, 7-0 North for the Minnesota Football Showcase.
Welcome back to U.S. Bank Stadium. I am joined with Minnesota Vikings COO Kevin Warren. Kevin, this is the first year that an all-star game has been represented by the Minnesota Vikings. Why is it so important to connect the Vikings with high school football?
I mean, this is our pipeline. Basically, we're a professional football team, but these players are our future. They'll go on and play in college and hopefully come and play in the NFL. But it's important, really, that we continually grow the game and build our brand at the high school rank. So we're excited and ecstatic to host this and to have a long-term relationship.
Kevin, this game is particularly special for you because your son Powers has been selected as one of the best receivers in the state of Minnesota, getting to play here at the Viking Stadium. What is it like for you to watch him out there?
I mean, it's an incredible experience to have had an opportunity to work on this stadium, to be a part of a team to put this together. And when you see your own family member, especially your kid, who's worked hard to be in a position to play today, it really is special. So I'm glad that they're doing well. It's an exciting game so far. I'm glad that he's worked hard. So I pray that he stays healthy the second half and can catch a couple balls.
Kevin, we appreciate your time and commitment to making this connection with high school football and the Minnesota Vikings. We are actually going to turn over to break and be right back here with much more on Fox 9.
Earlier today, Vikings fans got a chance to meet and get autographs from Vikings legends Dave Osborne, Ricky Young, and Hall of Famer John Randall, plus wide receiver Adam Thielen and running back C.J. Ham and Matt Asiata signed autographs in the new Vikings Voyage interactive area on the Skyway level. How important to the community is these Vikings and former Vikings still staying involved?
No, I think it's huge, and the Vikings have done a wonderful job of that ever since I played with Denny Green, and it was always Community Tuesday. It was about getting the guys out and doing different things. So to be able for these kids to meet a player like John Randall, who came from Texas A&I Kingsville, some small school. I don't think he played in any Texas high school all-star game, but to make it ultimately in the Hall of Fame, it should give all these kids hope that if you work hard enough, you'll get there.
Upstairs in the broadcast booth here at U.S. Bank Stadium, I think the Wilfs have done a real nice job of getting the Viking alumni involved as well.
They have. They've done things every single week to bring guys back. And the other thing that we're doing is getting on the road. So when we go down to Jacksonville, we'll have an alumni event at all these other cities. So the Wilfs have been very engaged with bringing the alumni back. They all want to see the new stadium as well. They all want to come here and think that, yeah, man, I wish I had played here instead of the Metrodome. Although we love the Metrodome because it was loud.
Personality.
But this stadium here is not only pleasurable for the fans. I mean, they're having a great time. But, yeah, it's loud enough.
Taking a look back at that first half. Not a lot of offense, but a lot of good defense in this game. And even during regular season football, that defense is usually ahead of the offense anyway.
You would absolutely expect that in a game like this. They're just trying to offensively get the ball down the field, but defense has all been playing well. It's been cat coverage, pretty simple. Not a lot even on special teams. So the ball, these yards, the touchdowns, they've been very, very hard to come by.
The touchdown, it was Jaron Rosti on the beautiful throw into the end zone to Michael Wanamaker. A little mix-up from the coverage. The 7-yard touchdown catch by Wanamaker in that hair.
Yeah, he had a great interception there earlier. But Rosti, who has been very, very impressive, getting the ball here to Teague on the outside. Nice run by the wide receiver, and here it is, hanging in the pocket. Gets the scissors route to come open and delivers the strike. So for these young quarterbacks to come out here, a whole different group of receivers, whole different routes. You're calling completely different plays. You've only had a couple days, you know, to really practice them. The athleticism of the quarterback, the multidimensional quarterbacks are going to probably fare a little better. The ability just to pull that thing down and run and extend plays, and we've seen that.
7-0 right now at the half as we're getting set to start second half. Coming up in a minute, I got to go get my Sam Bradford jersey.
Really?
When you're down here.
You don't have one yet, huh?
No, I do.
Okay.
Just from overseas, I got to go get the real one now. They didn't make the road ones either.
Oh,
when I wanted
you
to jump out of the gate and get one.
Color rush or no?
No color rush.
Okay.
I'm old school.
I got it.
7-0. What a game this was last weekend at the Fret Bowl. What a fake that was. Noah Hillman taking it the distance. This one was the game of the weekend. Class 3A, Rochester Lord, St. Croix Lutheran. Back and forth they went. Hillman as a sophomore starter. They won a state championship. Now as a senior, he's trying to bookend it with the title. But St. Croix Lutheran, they wouldn't go away. Carl Lemke, who's coaching in this game on Mike Grant's staff, watched his team tie it up late in the game. And now watch this. Under a minute to go in the game. This is your game-winning drive.
To catch the lateral
Are
and then the lateral.
Are you kidding me? Carter,
yeah.
Gregerson.
It's pretty amazing. That's a gutsy play. You got to have kids that you can trust to run something like that. It's amazing that they were able to pull that off.
They score on the next play. They win it. The state championship for Rochester Lured, 42-35. The man on the receiving end of that at the end was Carter Gregerson. He's been in this game, playing for the South Stars. Honor roll kid, 2-time champ. He had a Prep Bowl record, 20 tackles in the game.
Wow. Yeah, these are the kinds of kids that you come out and they're getting an opportunity now to play against some of the bigger schools and some of the bigger players. And I'm sure they're finding out very quickly that, yeah, they might be a little bit bigger and a little bit quicker, but you fit in. As soon as you see the rest of that game speed up, your body, you automatically react. And I think they'll see that the same thing when they spend their first few practices and first few weeks of college. That game's so much faster, but you respond to it very quickly.
That man right there, 70 years old, Carl Lemke, head coach, St. Croix Lutheran. I went out and watched him at practice, and they run the veer, and he gets in and he demonstrates it under center. 70 years old, he said, you know what, it's key to be healthy, and I try to teach these kids physical fitness.
Yeah, I mean, no reason to change your scheme if it's worked, right? No. It worked 50 years ago, and it's still working today. Run what you have confidence in. And the thing about all these different types of offenses and defenses that you see, it's not just being able to pull them off, it's to know all the little coaching points. And as a coach, you have to know that the fundamentals, or the basic fundamentals of your offense and defensive players, that has to tie into your front, that has to tie into your coverage. It all needs to fit together. So when you have someone who's done a scheme like that for such a long time, man, they know all the ins and outs.
Connor Cusick from Virginia High School kicks it off, and Carter Gregerson, we were just talking about, fielded the football and then ran into his own guy and down he went. Sometimes you just got to tell your guys, get out of the way.
Mike Delitzsch just can't help himself but make a tackle now.
That guy's good, Delitzsch.
Another point for these guys, and when they get to college, a lot of the time, this is their first opportunity to make an impact at the next level beyond special teams. So for all these guys, enjoy your time at offense and defense right now, but the next plays that you get in a live environment, in a live game, is probably going to be covering kicks.
Mike Grant trying to get this offense going. Oh, here we go. Trick play. Long bomb and really long, like 22 yards over the head of the wide receiver on the far side. Christopher Bain throwing that football intended for Tyler Knutsa, but I think we might get an illegal contact.
We're going to get holding or something there down the field. Let's see.
Holding on the defense. 10-yard penalty, first down.
And that's going to go
the other way.
Well, it's going to go against JT Baker,
yeah.
De La Salle. And you know what? If a guy's going to get behind you, look at Bain stepping back. He throws it. Perfect spiral where the receiver is supposed to be. But for Baker, it's a smart play.
Yeah.
You don't let the guy get behind you and allow the 60, 70-yard touchdown pass. But, you give him a first down. But why not make him line up and earn it?
Little draw play, and that'll get a yard. Dominic London darts ahead. London, what a game he had. His final game in high school against Champlin Park. 87 yards, 2 touchdowns. Gets into the end zone late. It's 35-33. And he ran a quick little arrow route into the end zone for the 2-point conversion. He's open, and the ball was delivered just late. And as it was delivered late, it was incomplete, and that's how his career ended. But what a great career. Last year, over 800 yards just in the playoffs alone, helping his team get to the state final. A little quick slant route. That's going to be a first down for the South. They're on the move, and so are we. We head downstairs.
I'm here with wide receiver Michael Wanmaker. Michael, how was it scoring the first and only touchdown here at the Minnesota Football Showcase?
It was great. The corner just he passed me off to the safety, and the safety rolled down, so I was just wide open. It was a good ball.
Looking back at your football career at Andover, what are some of your favorite football moments?
My junior and senior year, we went to St. Francis for the section championship, and we beat them both times. In my senior year, I had all 20 of our points and scored the game-winning touchdown with 23 seconds left, so that was pretty cool.
Have you decided where you're going to be attending school in the fall?
Right now I'm leaning towards South Dakota State, so hopefully I'll end up there.
Thanks, Michael. Congrats on a great season.
Thank
guys?
You think it's bass or you think it's drums that he plays?
I don't know. You got to love the haircut, though. You know, it keeps it well. It's not too messed up. But here is, again, Rosti with and exactly what Wanmaker says happens. The corner just drops him and he throws. You got to catch it with your hands, though. The old saying, if that was a spear, he'd be dead. But you get older, you get in that. These are all the little things that these guys will do and learn at the next level. And so a guy like Wanmaker, as a college coach like you are, you look for the athletes. You look for the guys that love the game, that study the game, and that way that transition is quicker for these players, the kids that can do it. And there's a million and one little points, million and one little things that's going to make all these guys better, and I'm looking forward to seeing these guys carry out through their college career and hopefully calling them in a Viking game someday.
Milo fumbled it, got it right back. He's going to set up and throw it. He's going to throw it long, incomplete.
And
good improvise there, at least.
We got a flag for illegal men downfield. Blaze Andries, one of the guys that's about 20 yards downfield, and getting a chance to see him play and pull a little bit and play some defense. He's a big man, but he can move. I'm sure the Gophers are going to love getting him out on the edge and kicking out as they.
And now he'll get receiver downfield on the offense. Penalties declined. Second down.
Are we going to talk about that one for days now? Should he have accepted that penalty?
No, we're not breaking that down here.
Oh, come on.
Second down and 10. You're talking about coaching, and you just took over at Hill Murray your first year coaching high school football. Get to that in a second. Henriksen in trouble. He's sacked. Nice play off the defensive end. by the Centennial end, Luke Shule.
Luke Shule has been, he's been all over this field today. He's done a really, really good job, and that's a nice pass rush. You see him get the long arms in on the offense, and that's against Blaze Andrew. That's against a Division I to be offensive lineman. But you see the extension that he gets, the long arms, and he comes off, and you know it's rushing the passer is so much like wrestling, where it's a push and pull. Once you feel the guy settle, you pull the rug out from under his feet and get him around. So Shule doing a wonderful job with using the hands and the leverage.
Well, a good idea to decline that penalty on 3rd and 17. Now they'll dump it off and not even being able to get back to the original line of scrimmage on the screen pass. And out of bounds at the 49. It's going to be a long yardage situation, and that'll send out Grant Ryersee. But going back to talking about you coaching at Hill Murray, you're back in the high school game. It's been a while, but it's got to be neat.
It has. It's been a wonderful experience coaching it with the Vikings for a while and having a chance to coach my kids as they go up through grade school, and get a phone call from Matt Burke, says you need to talk to Bill Lechner. And I'm like, who's Bill Lechner? And he said he's just the greatest hockey coach of high school of all time, blah, blah,
best.
Blah. And I'm like, yeah, who's Bill Lechner? But went over there, met him, Jim Hansen, the president of the school, and I just fell in love with the place. It's just like the high school. I went to a small Catholic high school just outside of Chicago and Joliet, and the place is home, and the great, great, great people there. And it's too bad I came in June, a little bit behind, a little bit late. We did the best that we could. We got a couple wins this season, which I was proud of. The guys played hard, and just to be able to coach these guys at this level, at this stage of their life, and to teach them and talk about, hey, this, you're gonna remember your teammates for the rest of your life. You guys are out there living and dying with each other, and when you come back 10, 15 years from now, this is what you're going to remember.
Well, that wasn't a favorable position there. Tige took the pitch and was swarmed under. Jackson Martins out of Burnsville, Minnesota, stepped up and was in on the tackle of the host.
Yeah, boy, maybe getting in there. Got a couple guys. Jackson Martins getting in there. It's good to see those corners and safeties get north and south to get downhill and attack the ball, attack the point. Because as offensive coaches, you want to get your big guys on your small guys, but when they attack like that, very, very difficult to do.
North in white, purple numbers. They're up 7-0 over the South in the purple with the white numbers. The pistol formation. And trying to take off. Nice move there for the quarterback. We'll go downstairs now. Allie.
Thanks, Tori. I'm with Grand Meadows' Christopher Bain. As a senior, your record is 55-1. You've had 4 state championships. The only game you ever lost, you broke your leg as a freshman. How do you even wrap your head around those accomplishments that you've had over your career?
Well, it's not just me. It's my team and our coaching staff. They make us who we are and the players that we are. So most of the credit should go to them, because it's not just me out there. It's my whole team, and it's a team game, I guess.
I know it's a team game. I know it's not all about you, but you do have a school record for 99 touchdowns in your career. Why is Christopher Bain so good?
Well, that starts at the offensive line. They make the holds. I just read them, and then the play calling, and my fullback helps out too. He blocks just like my offensive line, so it's all up to them.
Congrats on a great season. Hopefully you can make it 56-1 today. All right, Pete and Tori.
50 games in a row for Grand Metal, winning that state championship over Cleveland. This one wasn't easy, and look at that. Christopher Bain, 98th touchdown of his career. And not many came easier than that, boy. Not even touch that speed.
No, and I got a chance to watch some of that game. It was just an absolute blast to watch this kid go about his business. And I think that's the last time right there. That's not even touchdown 99 right there, so... You gotta love the haircut, though. You look at him. You get him on the side. You get him on the sidelines. He's got the hair going. No Bane, no gain. He's a fan favorite. He's a 9-man fan favorite. So, more signs out here.
I think he's in a Batman movie too.
Yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he might have been. And I tell you what, this South defense is really getting
up.
After. They're really stepping up and getting after the quarterback right now.
Boy, Mafi in there. Boye Mafe, what a story he is. 6'5" linebacker. The guy playing next to him at Hopkins High School is 5'6", a middle schooler, an eighth grader. Richard Chikolas plays right next to him. And Richard, who his coach says potentially might be an NFL player someday. As an eighth grader, he said he's the smartest player. But Boye Mafe is who he looks up to. So you got a 5'6 linebacker, a 6'5 linebacker, and he is literally looking up to him. And he says Boye is a wonderful role model for
him.
Well,
you look at Boye coming off the edge, and you got a guy with that kind of length, you know, like Daniil Hunter. Who can get in there and use the leverage, use those long arms to get the lineman's arms off of him, because he's always going to be smaller than the offensive lineman in front of him. So how do you overcome that? Well, with speed, with leverage, using the hands, and those kinds of things. And Mafe has that natural bend that you like to see out of these kids coming out of high school. And one less thing that you have to teach this kid as he gets into college. And His ability, you look at him and you say, yeah, he's gonna be able to manage and take care of and do the techniques necessary at the next level.
6'5", 220 pounds. He also has a high jump of 6'5", a shot put of 50 feet in track and field.
There's your explosiveness. More multiple sport athletes. That's where you gotta love those guys.
Getting some offers too. North Dakota, Minnesota, UNI, Wyoming, South Dakota State. And he said a little bit that it's been an adjustment getting that much attention. He's not from the United States, and he says it's a little weird when you get all these people coming at you.
It is, and it can be overwhelming, and I can't even imagine in this day and age what these kids go through, because the country, let's face it, has shrunk. You can get on Huddle and watch highlights of every single one of these kids all across the country, which is what the college scouts do. And I can imagine it can be overwhelming. You just got to go with the place that you love. And here's that tackle trap again.
I like it.
Coming up inside, and Wade Sullivan doing what he does best. But, again, for a guy like Boye, you look at him, he's just has all the talent in the world. So there it is, a tackle trap. That's when you want to have those big bodies. You want to have guys. It's Tanner Differding right there pulling, rolling, getting the guy inside. And that's what you want to see out of the big men. You can't just be big. You got to be big and be able to move. And the South offensive line is starting to get a little rhythm about him. So, Torrey, look out.
It looks like
game here soon.
Ted Brown following Tim Irwin through the hole back in the
middle
80s. Yeah.
Quarterback draw.
Running that same trap. Rob Meidel.
Rob Meidel.
Quarterback right now for the South, darting ahead. 4.5 minutes, clock running along here in the third quarter. And a 7-0 score.
Yeah, you get some of the kids on the side just having fun. That's what it's all about. You got the coaches still coaching them up. So Jeff Ferguson, they can't help themselves, right? You have the paper out, you use the marker, you're trying to just teach them every little thing that you can. Mike Grant with the heavy, heavy set. They got the heavy, heavy set out there.
The jumbo jumbo.
That's what you called it. The,
yeah,
jumbo,
the jumbo
jumbo.
Allie.
Hey, guys, I'm here with Blaze Andries of Marshall. Blaze, you have 24 Division I offers, 5 in the Big Ten, 5 in the SEC, but you decided to stay at home and play for the U. Tell me about that decision.
I just really liked the coaching staff at Minnesota and the feel of the players. I mean, they all really wanted to win, and they were willing to work hard for that. So I thought that'd be the best fit if we wanted to build a winning team, that you really need to want to win. And Coach Miller and Coach Glaze are great people, and I just really liked the feel of the university.
I understand that you didn't even go to some of your college visits because you didn't want to fall behind in math. How important are academics as well as athletics?
Academics are really important. I was falling behind in my calculus class, and it was just I couldn't let my academics suffer because of taking visits or anything like that. So I needed to make a decision, and I mean the coaching staff at Minnesota was the best. So I decided they were the best fit for me.
Blay is a very smart student athlete. We'll let you get back out there. Congrats on a great season. We look forward to watching you at the U. Torrey and Pete.
Very big one as well. So was Eric Wilson, the ball carrier. Boom. That time, the guard.
How about that?
In the jumbo jumbo.
How about Blaze Andries not going on college visits so he can do calculus? I mean, is he a glutton for punishment or what?
Absolutely.
Oh, my heavens.
Minnesota getting a very good player in Blaze Andries.
Very smart player as well.
Henriksen rolling right, shakes it, fires, end zone, incomplete. I like the high step on the far side.
Yeah, Henriksen definitely getting outside, and that's what he did down at. We saw him do it all year. Oh, there he is, the rewind. the Eric big Wilson. Fella, Eric Wilson, just getting it done. The big kid from Benilde St. Margaret. We had our jamboree preseason scrimmage was against Benilde St. Margaret, and I remember that kid. He's just a big, big man, square. Again, it's all business, rolling forward. How do you stop a guy 265 or 280 pounds, I think he goes, when he has the rock like that? You got to cut him off at the ankles, I guess.
You only hope to contain him. Reverse. Fake reverse. London will keep it. Fake to Knutson. He didn't quite get to the first down marker. So it'll be just shy. It'll be third down. Wilson smart as well. You were talking about Andries. Wilson headed to Harvard.
Well, he's going to Harvard. I mean, that's you got just a ton of guys going to different places.
Blaze Andries, Minnesota. Talked about him a little bit out of Marshall. The Tigers with a great year, 11-1. Christopher Bain. Sam Gibbous, his mom works over at Bethel. That might be an in for
it might be.
Gibbous and company. First down here on the carry. And the South on the move on third down and one with a minute and a half to go here in the third. Now entering the red zone, an opportunity to maybe get this thing tied up.
Christopher Bain getting a chance at fullback. I think with this game, you watch this game, and I think Roski stands out to me. Another guy that I'm impressed with is Dominic London. I mean, you watch him go about his work and how smooth of a runner he is. He's a good route runner, good hands. I think he's a heck of a good football player.
Meidel, he'll hang on to it. He'll get inside the 15-yard line, and we'll head down to Angie.
Thanks, Tori. I'm here with Zion Smith. Zion, your father, Pete, played in the All-Star game in 1993 and was on the first Cardinals team to make it to the state title game for nine-man. How does it feel to be following in his footsteps?
It's awesome. It's an honor. You know, it's something really cool, and I'm happy I get to experience it.
Tell us about your senior year and that run to the championship.
State
tournament.
Yeah. It was awesome. You know, we didn't go as far as we wanted to, but it was still a fun experience for us.
Have you been talking to any schools about where you're going to be next year?
Yeah, a couple MIAC schools in D3, so. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Zion. Have fun out here tonight. Guys?
Pretty neat following his father's footsteps. Did you ever have that opportunity, your father play?
I did, and my father played at Argo High School in just outside of Chicago, went to Michigan State, played with Duffy Doherty, Dean Look, guys like that, and ended up on the original Dallas Cowboy team in 1960. Played a couple years. And injured and had to leave it. So, you know, when your dad does it, it's really not that big of a deal, right? Your dad's an accountant, not a big deal. You get the big man again, Eric Wilson.
Pounding the rock with Wilson.
Keep feeding the beast, right? He's the modern-day refrigerator. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
How about the Nigerian Nightmare?
The only NFL player in 1985 that was 300 pounds. Now there's multiple in his game.
Look at all the hype. Yeah, how about that?
Timeout on the field. Fourth quarter on the way. It's 7-0 North. Henriksen rolls right, fires, and dropped. Oh, that's a tough one. Dropped out of the backfield. It was Christopher Bain, and a flag down. A few flags in this game, Pete.
Not too many. Pretty well played. Got the side judge, probably a holding call on the defense.
What?
Holy. Defense. Half the distance to the goal. Still first down.
I think they... they're saying JT Baker again. So yeah, I think
dancing.
So, but just challenging, you know, being physical on the sidelines, doing those things. All right, big fella, that's enough of that.
That's Eric Rausmiller.
Yeah, great.
He's trying to get it going. He's trying to get the offense going.
Those Lakeville South guys, man, forget about it.
People should know that you're in Lakeville North area.
The big.
Lakeville North. Wade Silliman. Sullivan gets inside the five, coached by Brian Vossen, takes it down to about the 3-yard line. He had big Eric Wilson, the jumbo, moving the pile.
And then Wade Sullivan, I'm sure he liked that call, getting all those big bodies. But Wade's used to playing behind a very, very large offensive line, and there's Wilson.
He's so good at cutting.
Yeah, he is. He's very, very shifty. He has such a low center of gravity that you got to be very careful and very disciplined in the gap control when you try to play a running back like he is.
Wilson, the fullback, the pitch is to London. London trying to get wide. Boy, he got stuck right at the goal line. Didn't get in. He's going to be about a yard and a half shy.
And Joe Russell. Joe Russell, Totino Grace. We've gotten used to that name, and we've gotten used to that number, as you see. But just playing down the sideline, shoulder square, taking a great angle, in, you know, turning. That's one of the hardest things you got to teach young guys is that, yeah, in a run game in between the tackles, you have a gap. But when the ball gets outside of the tackle box, it's still the same way. The corner has to turn it back inside. And as you're pursuing inside out, you've got to count on your teammate to do that, which he did on that play.
Farmington Tigers. Cole Hendrickson hands it off right up the middle. Into the end zone goes Bain. Touchdown South.
And what a couple weeks for Christopher Bain to be able to come here and win a state championship. And now score. Is this touchdown 100 in his career? I know he got to 99.
That would be the 100th of his career.
And what a way to get, you know, what a way to get it. A nice just coming underneath, keeping the shoulders square. He got a little help from the guys in front of him, but there he is, the Bane train. Putting six more on the board. He gets rewarded by being able to play wing on the PAT. The kid does everything.
Grant Ryersey out to kick the extra point. Playing the wing, makes his block, and Ryersey boots it.
And offsides on the defense.
Yep.
Some encroachment on
the
defense.
Snap. Encroachment on the defense. Half distance
gonna,
to the goal.
Is he
going to
go for two now?
Well, what do you got here? 6-7? You got to go for the win.
Yeah, you got to go for the win. He's bringing him out. 2-point conversion here.
Let me guess. A lot of big guys running out of the field.
I know there's a lot of time.
A lot more weight coming on the field, right?
Right. Jumbo, jumbo. Mike Grant. I love that guy.
Oh, don't take Bane out. You got to let Bane go back in there and let him finish what he started, right?
Right.
No, we're not going to criticize the coaches. They have plays, I'm sure, for specific guys running specific things. And, I mean, I'll tell you what, I think Dominic London's going to be the guy to get the ball in this play. Or they could just hand it to Eric Wilson, the big fella.
It's going to Wilson.
This is the fridge. I think it's going to the fridge. There it goes.
Wilson.
Fridge.
For the 2-point conversion is in.
There he is. Christian Okoye. He's not blushing. The Nigerian nightmare. Well, you know, that's what makes these games fun. To be able to have a big guy, an offensive lineman, a guy who doesn't get a chance to touch the ball. I mean, the closest that offensive linemen normally get are being able to spike the football when the quarterback or running back pitches it to him after a touchdown. But I've been impressed with this young man, Eric Wilson. He's, like I said, I got a chance to see him play in the preseason jamboree when we scrimmaged against them. And, you know, you don't see guys of his size being able to have that kind of balance and that kind of body control. And he's got to be careful because he may end up being a fullback somewhere down the line if he keeps this up. And I'm sure knowing him, he wouldn't mind it. He's just that kind of a kid.
6'4", 285 pounds. Manil St. Margaret's is headed to Harvard. They're going to be happy to have him. He read that play all the way. Took the handoff. He had the proper technique when he took the handoff from Cole Hendrickson as well. And then not only did he get hit at the line of scrimmage, he continued on his way through and pushed himself into the end zone. He was going
to
be the night.
Well, when you're 280, it's very hard to stop once you get all that going in one direction.
Two times he's been all-conference and band as well, track and field. Another all-star is Allie Arnold. She's downstairs.
Guys, I'm with Jacob Stanislawski from Winona. Jacob, it's so crazy to me that you led your team to a prep bowl. You're a Mr. Football finalist, and you have your choice of colleges to go to, but in the middle school, you almost quit football. Talk about that life-changing decision to stay with it.
Wow. If I would have quit football, I would have made the biggest mistake of my life. And I regret not going out right away because that was a big mistake. But I'm so glad I came out and where we are right now. It's just a great experience and a lot of fun.
What was it about the game that made you want to come back?
My teammates. Just being out with your brothers and just having some fun. Being out day in, day out. Just doing some football, hitting some people. Nothing better than that.
Your choice of colleges to go to, what are you thinking?
Maybe Winona State or walk on to U of M as of now.
Well, we look forward to watching you in the future. Congrats on a great season.
Thank you.
Tori?
Right now we got ourselves a football game. It's 8-7. It's a 1-point game here in the fourth quarter. But this has been so much more about everything around it when you talk to the players and the coaches. I was talking to Jeff Ferguson. He said earlier this week his squad, the South or the North All-Stars, they had a chance to go over to the Children's Hospital. All the kids went down there, talked to his former player, Nick Engblom, who's now 30 years old, played with him, was a captain at Totino Grace, works for Children's Hospital. They set up stations over there. The kids on that north sideline went down there. They had pizza and root beer with some of the hospital staff, the people that put that on. They went and hung out with the kids and watched the Vikings and Cowboys game on Thursday night. He said it was pretty special, and it was very eye-opening for these kids as they move on and head off to college.
And that's what they're going to have to get used to. And when you get to the next level and you start going to bowl games and getting national attention, they have to understand that they're not just representing a high school now. They're representing a college. College that a lot of these schools, the Harvards of the world, I mean, you're covering the nation, and you have alumni all over the country, and they expect you, and you are expected to hold that and keep that tradition of those colleges as well. And so there's a lot riding on these young men once they hit that next level.
You know, I talked to Coach Ferguson, too, about all these steps that he's taken in his career with Totino Grace and winning it at the 4A level, then the 5A level, and now being the first ever to opt all the way up to the big class. Two classes up. They're supposed to be in 4A. They only have 792 kids, and they win the state title. I said, what's next? And he said, I don't want to base my success with my school and my kids on the school board. I want to walk this journey with these kids and as they go on throughout life as well and stay in touch.
Yeah, I think that all these guys, the coaches at this level, that's why they're doing it. You're not doing it for the money. You're not doing it for the fame and admiration and for the ego. You're doing it because of the communities that they're involved in, the parents, the kids, and then, you know, for these guys to have former players come back 20, 30 years down the road and let them know, hey, it was, you know, I thank you. This is what we, you know, I love to do. And this is, that's the reward that you get as we see Chris Backus rolling out, getting the quarterbacks on the move a little bit, which is good. And, you know, not a lot of pocket passing in high school football. So I think these quarterbacks are all kind of looking more comfortable getting outside the pocket.
Cameron Witt on that reception. Jeff Ferguson called him, I told you this earlier, the happiest kid on my squad, 13 kids. In his family. Champlin Park, they had a huge win in the playoffs over Rosemount in the state quarterfinals. They got into U.S. Bank Stadium as kind of an upset as an 8-3 team. Cameron Witt, one of the wide receivers in that spread offense. And his quarterback, Chad Costello. I couldn't believe it in that Rosemount game. Costello ends up with a Lisfranc fracture in his foot. It's a very painful fracture. Second series of the game against Rosemount, stays in, throws for almost 400 yards in this game. They win in overtime. I mean, it was an impressive performance, but they just ran into that Curry juggernaut the following game in the semifinals. Incredible. Talk about Elk River, talking about the Prep Bowl and the teams that have had this journey and this walk through the season. Elk River, they knew they had a team this year, 125 years of the school history, never a state championship. They finally got it done.
And like you mentioned, that offense, you'll see a lot of the three back, and I don't know if to call it a veer option or whatever you want to call it, but a lot of pride in that team, and they hung in there tough right toward the end.
They beat Spring Lake Park, who was previously undefeated going into that state championship game, and Elk River really took it to them. Spring Lake Park scored early in the game. It was called back, and then it was all Elk River from there. Sam Gibbous, who's in this game, and you've seen him carry five times on just this drive alone, has done such a wonderful job for the North All-Star or the South All North All-Stars, and then did such a great job in this game and all season long helping his team and his teammate Rice here, taking another one to the house. They were on their way. Elk River won that game 42-14, beating a previously undefeated Spring Lake Park team. But think about that, 125 years. They were like the Cubs. You had the Cubs, then you had Elk River.
Yeah, it's good for Elk. I mean, good for Elk River. And that young man right there, Gibbous, was obviously a big part of that. A little different style of offense that he's going to see, I think, for the rest of his career, instead of the little traps and things up the middle. But anytime in football, if you can get north and south, that's the way you want to go. And he's definitely a downhill runner. Uh-oh.
Fires, intercepted Boltman. Brock Boltman going to take it to the house. Touchdown, south.
Now, Rosti just trying to, I think, make a little bit too much of the play. It was broken from the beginning. He had somebody right in his face, and I don't think he was able to follow through. But you got to give credit to Brock Boltman, who hung in there, read the play. As soon as that ball was in the air, he became the receiver and turned defense into offense. So nice job by Boltman getting, anticipating, and catching the ball at its highest point. But you can see the pressure in the pocket right there. When the quarterbacks throw off their back feet, Rosti didn't have the zip that we've seen him have all day. In the corner, in the nickel corner, being able just to undercut it, take it to the house. That's a dream play for a defensive back right there. You dream about those plays.
He went to bed thinking about that. Brock Boltman, the captain, plays.
Or was it the ice cream
hockey,
and root beer?
Baseball, football. Might have been the root beer floats that they had. Check it downstairs. Angie Vestra. Angie, take it away.
Thanks. I'm here with Carter Hangslaven. Carter, I hear this isn't the only NFL stadium you'll be playing in. Tell us where you're off to next month and what that's all about.
Yeah, December 22nd, I'll be playing in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
And what are you going to be doing down there? What game is it?
It's for the Blue-Gray All-American Bowl. I'll be playing right tackle, too.
Your coach tells me you not only play football, but you also coach a few youth teams in your free time. Is coaching something we could see in your future?
Yeah, I've coached some football and basketball, and it's really fun, and I've enjoyed it. And, you know, it could be. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a possibility.
Great. Thanks, Carter. Have fun out there tonight. Allie, we'll send it to you.
Hey, I'm with Mr. Pick Six himself, Brock Boltman of Edina. Brock, you're a three-sport athlete with Division I offers in both football and baseball. What makes you such a talented athlete?
I honestly don't know. My dad's a physical education teacher at the high school, and I've been doing push-ups and pull-ups in my bed since I could walk, so.
So gym class will get you a D1 offer. What about Coach Grant just said something to you after that pick six? What'd he say to you?
He's like, well, I'm normally a quarterback, but he's like, I'm glad you joined that defensive side for this game. And, yeah, no, I've got to know him pretty well over the past week. I've always played against him. He's coach at EP, and it's fun to be on his side now.
So I have to ask you real quick. Your coach says you refuse to wear any colors other than green, black, white, and gray. How do you feel about all this purple?
I like it. I'm a big Vikings fan, so it's fine. No, this is sweet. It's purple, and it's a sweet atmosphere, and I love this.
All right, Brock, go catch your breath.
Thank you.
Tori.
What a great play by Brock Boltman. She talked about 6'1", 197, offensive MVP.
And for a quarterback to get a chance to play a little defense, if they can run and tackle, it's not a bad spot for them because they understand what quarterbacks see. They understand how coverages work. So that transition sometimes is a pretty good one. And Spillum with a nice play. So the defense for South is really stepping up. And it all starts up front, just like it does in the NFL. Jaron Rosti with just a little bit of pressure up front, a nice up the middle, throws off the back leg, and then boom. Right there to make the plays is Brock Boltman. So it's never, we talk about football being a team sport, meaning it's not just one guy out there doing his thing. It's 11 guys. The pressure comes up the middle. Blaze Andrews in the quarterback's face. He throws off the back leg. That's the start of the chain reaction. Next thing you know, Boltman undercuts the route, identifies it, does a great job. So it's good team defense.
Tried to throw the corner on this side, and it was incomplete over the head of Juan Maker. Rosti incomplete there as he's trying to pick up the first down. It's going to be a third down and long situation now. Going back to Boltman, his dad, the head coach of the Edina Hornets. Near 3,000 yards passing in his career.
So all it takes is push-ups and sit-ups in bed.
That's it. That's
now,
is
that physical education or torture? I mean, what category does that fall into? I'm kidding, of course.
Rosti.
No one bites on the third
like
and 10
that.
Play action.
I like that. First down. They throw a little wrinkle in. And Tanner Tige picks up the first down and a big one at that after the interception went back. That trailing now eight is the North who had held the lead for most of this game.
I think Coach Ferguson's filing a complaint that was not one of the plays in the playbook. But, you know, nice job offensively. Rosti getting back, Teague catching the pass and turning upfield. So
a little bit of misdirection, and that's when an offense, that's what you want to do. And Mike Grant, he knows football. He knows that when your quarterback's starting to get pressure, then you got to start doing the draws, the screens, the delays, the bootlegs, all kinds of things like that to get that defense and slow them down.
Torrey Holt along with Pete Bursich. And going deep is Rosti. That one, it might be intercepted down there. I believe it is. And the South gets it back. Picked off by Desmond Bassett out of Mankato East.
And Jermaine Johnson applying the pressure up front. So good team defense by the South. Let's get to the sidelines with Allie.
Thanks, Tori. I have Alex Spillum here of Chanhassen. You have been described as a freak athlete. You are an All-American long jumper, taking fourth in the nation, and you can do a backflip while catching a football. How do you even figure out that you're able to do it?
I used to jump on the trampoline a lot when I was a kid, and that's pretty much it, yeah.
That's pretty impressive, freak athlete at that, to be able to do that. What are your plans post-graduation?
I still got to look at my options, sit down with my parents and family, and decide what the best fit for me is going to be.
Definitely. And what is it like to be here today playing where the Minnesota Vikings play in an all-star game, hand-selected as one of the best players in the state?
It's an absolute honor. The whole experience has been amazing. I know that all the guys would probably say the same thing. Like, best part is probably meeting all the other players and talking to them and meeting. And, I mean, the game is just something extra, win or lose. Still a great experience.
Alex, get out there and get a pick six doing a backflip.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Tori and Pete.
Alex Spillum, pretty impressive what he's done. An All-American long jumper, has the school record in the long jump as well. He's one heck of an athlete, and he started on that trampoline. No gain here for the South after picking up a first down. And talking about that backflip, Pete, we got footage.
Of course we do.
Check this out.
This is what we do. Doing a backflip.
Wow. That's unreal.
It is. That is pretty
amazing.
You're
talking about body control.
You know, and with the way things are now, and being able to put that on Huddle and your personal sites and all that, it's amazing. A college just doesn't give him a scholarship because he can catch a football doing a backflip.
It's like the Joe Webb tape of him jumping the tackle and dumping. We got to see that again. Can you roll that back again? This is awesome. Look at this kid.
I can't even imagine. How many times? Hopefully he got that right the first time he did it. Right?
Well, he did it on the trampoline.
I guess a million times on a trampoline, but yeah. I tell you, that takes some courage to do, but. You know, a lot of amazing athletes on this field, and another reason why I love this game.
He does that once in a game, and he's going to end up like Odell Beckham Jr.
Maybe, yeah. Good luck.
London darts ahead in the first down in the South. And that's a helmet. I thought it was a football that squirted out of there, but it was a helmet came off.
I tell you, the more I get a chance to see Dominic London run the football, the more impressed I am with him and his just the way he moves and keeps his shoulders square, just real a very very smooth runner, a good receiver out of the backfield. I think I'm very very impressed with this young man after getting the chance here to see him play in this All-Star game.
5'9", 197 pound senior Dominic London. State runners-up 2 years ago. That was an incredible game. Osseo winning that one 14-13. Late in that game, down to the final seconds. And getting wrapped up as the engineering major when he heads off to college. He's still undecided, Rob Meidel, but
Jewell would have none of it.
No.
So the quarterback draw, going to the well, maybe one too many times, and Jewell, he's really been all over the field today. So a couple guys getting a chance to stand out. Again, another shot at Eric Wilson. Now they're going to be putting him at tailback anytime soon. It is it's second and 10. If you need, you need three, he'll get you three. If you need five, he'll get you three.
Leroy Hard. London. Nothing. They stayed home. Jeff Ferguson too savvy for that.
And good pursuit by the North defense to get to the outside and make sure that Dominic London isn't able to turn the corner.
Mike Grant, he has assembled a veteran staff. Carl Lemke, we talked about him a little bit. 43 years in coaching, Carl Lemke at St. Croix Lutheran. And one of the coaches on the staff, Larry Thompson, Lakeville South. This is his last high school game that he's coaching.
I thought he was coaching until he was 100.
That's only if they got turf over at Lakeville South High School.
That's right.
That was in his letter to the athletic director when he decided to step down. Obviously, great humor in Larry Thompson, who's also a farmer, but a great career, 38 years as a coach in Lakeville. Of course, from 79 to 2004, he coached the Lakeville Panthers. He won three state titles there in 88, 92, the last one in 2003. And then he took over at Lakeville South High School. When that school started, and from 05 to 10, they went to four straight state tournament appearances, and he thanked all the coaches and players that he come through. Of course, the head coach now, Brian Vossen, who's the coach at Lakeville North, played for him, and he mentored him. And he just said, you know, I know what it needs to be done to get to that next level, and I don't have the energy to do it.
Well, you know, you look at him on the sideline and putting his arm around the players, and that's the part that they'll miss. And for a guy like for a coach like him, he could always come back, I think, and get that taste. I don't think he's ever going to be kicked out of the building, so to speak, at Lakeville South. They will always have a door open from him. And I know, you know, it's not the last you've seen of him on the sideline. He just may not be the guy anymore.
The best part about the whole deal is I went out to practice yesterday, and he goes, I go from being a state champion, winning head coach, on the final play of this game, we're going to return it. Will the North, and it was Isaiah Cherrier, and that will do it. The season is in the books. The South All-Stars are the winners, 15-7, and this one just wrapping the Larry Thompson story. He said, Mike Grant, I went to coach for him. I went from being a state champion head coach to coming on Mike Grant's staff, and I'm the ball boy. All week he had to carry the balls around.
Well, football has a way, you know, of keeping you humble. But what a great experience for these young men up here today to get out here to play this game, to be able to share this experience. That's what they're going to remember right here, these handshakes, the other guys that they played with and played against. They're going to love it.
I want to thank Tony and Richard up here in the booth, Allie and Angie. Thanks so much for watching Minnesota Football Showcase from U.S. Bank Stadium on Fox 9. For extended coverage of today's event, please continue watching on Vikings.com. For Pete Bursich, I'm Tori Holt. For executive producer Pat O'Connor, we thank you. Goodbye.